Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Top Advisor Marketing. Today, we're going to do episode 26, the five excuses that kill your marketing success. Now, I think everybody needs to almost be in a roller coaster seat here, and you really need to strap yourself in and sit down and be prepared, because some of these are things that Kirk and I are incredibly passionate about, and I have a strong feeling we're going to have a lot to say. So, Kirk, let's just jump right in. What are the five excuses that kill your marketing success?
Before I jump in, I'm going to have a little warning here, or maybe warning is not the right. I just want to add some perspective. Matt and I, like any professionals, are deeply dedicated and really enjoy helping financial advisors. So the spirit that I want everybody to listen to this podcast is that how much we actually care. We're in no way, shape, or form are we acting like we're better than the advisors who have these excuses, because we've all had them. We live and breathe these all the time as entrepreneurs. And I want you to understand that we're not beating up on you, but we're trying to help you be aware of excuses that aren't moving you forward in your business, and they're absolutely killing your marketing success.
Well, let's remind everybody. So the last podcast we did, episode 25, Kirk interviewed Dr. Jack Singer. And you guys, we don't record the after show notes, but it was funny because I had made a statement to Dr. Jack about not being the smartest person in the room, and he jumped right on me. And he was like, "That's negative thinking." And Kirk said, "Wow, you know." But guys, here's the deal. A lot of times you have to have somebody who's going to just kind of grab you by the shoulders and shake you around. And we're doing it out of love and respect. We're not doing it out of you know, malice or anger. Our whole existence, Kirk and I do what we do for a living to help you become even more successful. And these five things are things both of us hear on a regular basis that are stopping you from being as successful as you can be. So Kirk, let's just jump. Okay, so what is the first one here? And then let's talk about it.
Should I do these with accents or different voices? I'm just kidding. So I've heard it too many times, but I heard it last week. And this is the one that I just went over to my whiteboard after I got out of a meeting with this particular financial advisor who I'd met at a conference. And I went over to my whiteboard. He's going to be listening to the show, I know. So yes, it's you. Thank you for the fodder for our podcast. I'm not being hard on you. You're amazing guy and you're a fabulous financial advisor. But what this guy told me just made me so upset for him. Like, I just internalized it. And it's, "I don't control my brand." It's like, what do you mean? Well, I work with this other guy. He owns a company. You know, I'm an advisor who I'm not necessarily under his umbrella. I run my own practice, but I can leverage the office space, blah, blah, blah. But he controls the brand. I thought to myself, oh my gosh, this isn't just happening like multi-advisor practices. This happens with a lot of advisors. I mean, this is the idea of why so many advisors went independent in the U.S. to break away, right? They call them breakaway advisors, was to be able to be in control of how you want to position yourself in the marketplace, how you want to run your business, all those kinds of things. But not controlling your brand should not hold you back. It's a challenge when somebody else is controlling your brand and you feel like you don't want to change your situation, but you need to find a better way. And I'm working through this with the advisor. And the truth is you have to have a really open conversation. You need to, if you're in a place where you have no control over the brand and the brand does not suit you in your practice whatsoever, man, the writing's on the wall right there. I got to tell you. If you want to be successful in your business, you have to be able to control the message that you're putting out to the marketplace.
Well, and I, you know, I experience this a lot too. You work with a lot of independent RIAs. I work with a lot of, you know, BD based or almost captive, for lack of a better description, advisors and agents, and they still say the same thing. And I come back to them and I challenge them, right? Well, you know, this broker dealer X won't let me position myself this way. And I say to them, yes, you can't necessarily position yourself that way in writing, but that doesn't mean that you can't position yourself within the marketplace verbally. And we're going to talk about this too, because one of the big things that there's excuses is compliance, and I'm not going to jump too far ahead, but you need to be able to position your own personal brand. And I think that's where things get lost. You don't have to have every single solitary thing in writing. If you have your handcuffs on, you can still position yourself within the marketplace in the way that you want. But if you are truly independent and you are in a partnership situation, I've actually worked with this with a very large firm in Minnesota. And I was working with his number two. So there's the primary advisor and then the number two advisor. And the number two advisor said the same thing to me. And I said, why don't you go to the number one advisor and say, I want to have a subspecialty in this. And the primary advisor was so happy that his number two took the initiative to find a sub brand to open up an entirely new marketplace for the firm, that it was probably the best conversation he had had. And in turn, ended up making this guy, he's now a $1 million producer, Kirk. I mean, that's crazy.
You know what? You just, man, there's a reason that I like you and that we work together, because you just nailed that. Like, that's exactly what we came up with this guy. You've got to make sure that the umbrella brand suits you and what you stand for. If you're way off there, you got a big major problem. But if you can find a way to connect, if you can create a sub brand or a niche underneath that. And that's exactly what this guy's going to do. That actually, but you got to stop being scared about talking to the primary guy about it. That for starters, like if you're holding stuff back, you know, you're not going to get anywhere in life if you can't communicate. So go in there, talk about what you want to do, how it fits under their brand. I'm telling you, that's a great way to build a multi-advisor practice with an overarching brand and then specialty advisors who can, I mean, it's a powerful way, but you've got to be able to integrate that into the marketing. So you got to be able to get like a landing page mm-hmm. on that niche market. You got to find a way to add it, but it doesn't have to take over the whole site. And then your marketing and your social, when you're doing your marketing, you can do, if you want to write a paper for that niche, which you absolutely should. Yep. If you want to do a podcast for that niche, absolutely should. Have it on that landing page. Don't have it take over the entire site. There's nothing wrong with that. All your social media will go out to your audience, lead back to your landing page, your stuff with the overarching umbrella company behind you, standing behind you. And you'll use some of their brand in yours and then your niche. It's you can do it. It should not be excuse. If you don't control your brand, the only way that it doesn't work is if you're way off base with what their brand is and what yours is, and then you just got to go. You got to, or maybe their brand isn't what they want it to be, and you can build one together. But anyway, so I guess we should move on.
Number two, but you already made a great segue into number two, right? Which is, you know, sub page within a website, and I love that. In fact, I was working with this client out in LA, and so one of his target markets is personal injury attorneys, and so we created a sub page within his website because his website was done, and he said what you're about to say. So we created this sub page and a video and a white paper and all of these things that are downloadable from the sub page, which didn't interrupt his website. So talk about what this major objection is or the excuse here when it comes to websites.
Yeah, this one is really tough for us to stomach too. And for an advisor, they're in a way darker place, more difficult place, I guess, is maybe not darker, but difficult place. This is the excuse. I've just invested in a new website. It's not what I was hoping for, but it's done and I don't want to go back and redo anything. So I had a company I got referred to, broker dealer, want to recruit. And the guy says, we just spent 2 years getting the site done. I was like, oh gosh, there's a lot of pain clearly around that. It's done. I don't want to address it, but there's some other things that I need help with. And I was like, there's nothing I can do for you. When you come to me and you make that kind of a statement, there's not much I can do outside of trying to get you, help yourself with a mindset. But, you know, a website is the hub of all your marketing. It needs to be great. Not, you know, it didn't quite work out the way I wanted to. You know, when a website is built, it's not all lost. I don't like personally going in and trying to, you know, fix websites, but whoever built it for you, If you work with somebody and you address some main, you can go back in and tweak it and make it a lot better. It may not be perfect as if you built it from scratch, but it doesn't need to be a complete redo. But you gotta understand the roles of your website. And we're going to do a show. I just did a webinar yesterday with 20 over 10 about our WOW website formula. And we'll be talking about that in an upcoming episode, and make sure that you get some ideas there. But you know, there are ways that you can enhance what you have so that it actually fulfills the roles you need it to fulfill. And in that webinar / upcoming podcast, I'll talk about the five roles your website should play. But you know, don't use, if you didn't do it right, there's no, you know, that's is really your problem. You got to make it right, because it's your website. You have to get it right.
And it doesn't have to be an entire rebuild, right? I've seen you do that before, right? You don't have to tear it down and rebuild it. There are things that you, Kirk Lowe, and Tactibrand can help with to optimize the website in order to communicate it in the way that they want, even though it might not be visually exactly where they want it to be. Am I right there, or am I off?
Yeah, absolutely. Just be resourceful and think about how you can get to close to where you need to be, instead of your mind going, okay, this guy's going to just tell me I need a whole new website. And there's probably lots of people that will. I'm not saying I've never said that before either, but truth is if you figure out a solution, but don't just, you know, put your hand up and say, you know, I can't talk about it. I already waste a lot of money there. It's not good, I know, but I'm going to just go ahead with blinders on. It's a bad excuse. It's going to kill your marketing. You know, I've had it before. Oh, I just went through a branding process. What are the outcomes? I don't even get what they came up with. So I don't trust anybody to do that anymore. Well, come on, you gotta have a story for your business, you know? So you got to figure that stuff out. So here's the number three one. Unless you had something to add there.
No, you already transitioned right into it. I mean, so you were just talking about, you know, money, right? Well, I just invested into a website, or I just invested in a brand. So this is the next.
You're making it sound like I actually know what I'm doing.
It's for some reason, Kirk, today you are on fire, dude. Your transitions are rocking. So, you know, I'm just going to sit back and listen. It really, you need to go with, okay, so this
is
the objective.
It is. He's probably got a beer really nearby. Actually, you drink.
I do. And that's a great gift, by the way. Wink, wink. Okay, so hold on. So this one, the last three are the ones I hear more often than not. So I want to hear your take on a number three and number four and number five. And there are lots of stuff that I'd like to add to those.
So the third excuse, I want to grow my business, but how do I find the dollars to invest? And the truth is I can't really afford to do the marketing that you're talking about, which I would call good marketing. So I can't afford good marketing. So all I can afford is a cheap website or this kind of campaign or that kind of campaign. And it's like all these silo ideas that independently, I feel like I have the budget. But when when you talk about, you know, having this foundation, you know, if you've been listening to us for, you know, for a while, you know, having that brand in place, the intrigue, having the website, you know, having some good sound social profiles, you know, having a paper, having a process diagram, you know, for credibility, things like that. You know, that foundation, if you feel like you can't afford that, there really isn't. You got to find a way to do that. So one of the things that we're working on is 270 days to a better practice. We're working on a coaching program right now. By the time you're listening to this, it may actually already been launched. You'll know because we'll send you an email. And it'll be all over our social channels. So make sure you're following us and you're on our email list. But I, you know, not being able to afford, you got to find a way. You got to find a way to do the simple things. If you can't afford to have somebody else do it for you, take small steps. I got to tell you, I've been introduced to some companies recently who have been following me for a couple of years, and they've been listening and they've been implementing, and they're blowing me away. I didn't think they could do this without me because that's my ego.
Well, but Kirk,
I'm telling you, they did incredible jobs.
Like the one that we talked to a couple of days ago, starts with an S. What was it again? Syntonic, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I, both Kirk and I have been talking to this new company, and really what they offer is actually almost a little spooky, groundbreaking. But he said specifically that, you know, I've been
not
listening
financial
to Kirk
Advisor, but they work with financial
right.
advisors, but still a great story.
Well, it is a great story. And, you know, they have been listening to you. They've been reading your papers. They've been downloading your stuff. They, you know, they subscribe to the newsletter. And if you look at their website, it looks almost like one that you would have created. And it was so, so fantastic. I want to put my two cents in here. From a business coaching perspective, you're running a flipping business, okay? This isn't your piggy bank. This isn't your, you know, your checkbook. You have to allocate at least 10%, if not 20% of gross revenue towards marketing. I don't understand how you can't do that as a business. How can you not market yourself? Well, Matt, I hear all the time that, you know, I'm supposed to just focus on referrals. Sure, but you still have to market to those referrals. You still need to have a good nurture sequence to get their attention, to make them feel loved and trust you, like Kirk has been talking about on all of these podcasts for a long time. It drives me crazy when I hear this. I was just speaking. So I spoke at a NAFA event about 2 months ago, and I asked the advisors, hey, how much do you spend in marketing? And the average in the room was 2.5%. And then I just spoke to a bunch of realtors on Tuesday of this week, and I asked them how much they spend on marketing. Do you know what they said they spent, Kirk?
No idea.
25%. 25% they spend on marketing.
Well, but they do have to market their clients. So are they talking about that or marketing their own practice?
Marketing their own practice. They're not marketing their clients. They're marketing themselves.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, so yes, and they do have to market the properties and they have to do some of that stuff, but why?
Hey, this is called Top Advisor Marketing for Realtors.
We just opened a whole new vein. But this is something, guys, that ladies and gentlemen who are listening to this, you have to start, and you don't necessarily have to do it overnight. In fact, one of the things that I do from a coaching perspective is we get the baseline. So let's say you're at 3% of your overall annual budget you spend on marketing. The next year I'll have you do 7%. And then the next year after that, we'll bump it up to 10 or 11%. So it can be a gradual thing, but so many of you, whatever you eat or whatever you kill, you eat immediately. You have to get out of that mindset. You have to start running this more and more like a business. And when you're a business owner, these excuses are a whole load of crap because you run the business. It's your business. Put on your pants, walk out the door and do it right.
Man, that was great.
All right. What is number four? This is the one where if I could virtually reach through my phone and slap advisors around, this is the one where this drives me the most crazy.
Yeah. Compliance won't let me, Matt. They won't let me do a podcast.
Yeah.
They won't let me have my own website. They won't let me write a white paper. They won't let me blog. I had somebody come back to me the other day and said, I'm having trouble with my compliance department because they don't like my pod. They can't control my podcast. I'm like, what the heck are you talking about? They can't control it. I said, well, they don't get it. I'm like, what do they think a podcast is? We transcribe the podcast. We send every piece of content. And he's like, I know. I'm trying to explain to them what it is. I'm like, what? Compliance departments play an incredible role, do an incredible service to protect you, to protect consumers, and there's no need for us to beat up on compliance departments. Mm-hmm. But if you're working with a compliance department who can't get out of your way to be successful, come on. Like mm-hmm. if you have shackles on your business, you gotta free yourself. You cannot be there, or you gotta go higher up and say, Am I running a business here? Mm-hmm. And because you have to run a business. If you can't market your business, come on, guys. You got to figure this out. And I'm trying to be really nice here and say I know how difficult it is.
Yeah.
I mean, moving your practice is not a small transition. But you got to figure out how to work in a place that allows you to be successful.
I liken it to guardrails. And so what happens is, you know, Most advisors have no desire to touch the guardrails. But if you watch NASCAR racing, you know, one of the best ways to get around the person in front of you is getting really freaking close to them or getting really close to that wall. Sometimes even scraping the wall just a little bit. Advisors are so afraid of scraping that wall when it comes to their practice, which is that NASCAR, right? You have to do that. Kirk, I've got a success story here that just blows me away. I'm working with a guy locally here in Michigan. And he is a captive agent in the most restrictive compliance department I have ever been involved with. And we're working on, and part of this 270 days to a perfect practice or to a better practice is this, the 10 key steps to creating a niche market. And so I'm walking him through these 10 key steps. And one of them, as you've already said, is the white paper, right? And so I said, here are the questions. Here's an example of the white paper. Send this to compliance and see what they say. And compliance came back and said, well, nobody's ever done this before. And I said, okay, that's not a no. Because a lot of advisors just throw their hands up in the air and say, oh, screw it. That's not a no. So we got closer to those guardrails. We got closer to that wall. And I said, okay, call them back. And I want you to say, just because nobody's done it before, does that mean I can't do it? And they came back and said, we're not saying you can't do it. We're saying we don't even know where to begin. And his response was, well, why don't you talk to my coach? He's done this before, and he can communicate to you exactly how this paper is going to be used. So next.
That's such a more productive way for a compliance department yes. advisor to engage, right?
Yes. And you're right. I mean, he could... I would love for him to go totally independent. That's not really the point. The point is he's happy where he's at. He's been very successful where he's at. You have to learn how to work within the system. Guys, many of you are fiercely independent, and Kirk and I both really understand that. But compliance isn't the business prevention department like a lot of you think it is. You just have to learn how to work within your compliance. Instead of just giving up, which is what most of you do, you have to get that car at 200 miles an hour closer to that wall and just see where you can wiggle around. And the better you wiggle.
I was pretty hard on them about, you know, compliance is tough, just leave.
Sometimes compliance.
I mean, if there's no talking, but that's a great story.
But it is. An unbelievable opportunity for this advisor, because now he's going to be able to, which opens the door for a sub brand, right, within this very, very fixed system. And once we start really bringing in the business, because we've already identified his hit list, which is his top 25 people who he's going to be talking to. Here are the questions. You know, we're already setting appointments to do our research. Once the compliance department sees that it works and it doesn't go against anything, the only way compliance is going to change is if you ask them to change and you show them that it can change without violating their policy. So, okay, I spent way too much time on that. I'm sorry. I'm very, very passionate about that.
An example. I'm hoping there's compliance people listening to our show too. Mm-hmm. So let me, they may have already hung up.
they might have hung up with what you said earlier, but hopefully they're still listening.
But let me give you an example. I think sometimes what happens, well, compliance people, like anybody, they've got a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. They're really busy. Mm-hmm. And margins are lower for companies who offer compliance services. So there's a lot of pressure, money pressure too, right? Mm-hmm. So new stuff is like, oh, shoot, I got to figure it out. It's going to take more time. There's risk, cost, all those things. I get it. But the truth is sometimes when people introduce things, let me give you an example. A podcast, when blogging first came out, compliance departments freaked out. Mm-hmm. The funny thing is if you, what I would tell advisors is don't tell them you have a blog, tell them you have an article library. Mm-hmm. And they didn't even bat an eyelash.
Right.
But blogging is the same thing. You just turn off your comments. But that was so hard to try to pitch a blog. For years, it was like, okay, don't even say a blog. Yep. Please don't say a blog, because you'll end up in months of a debate. Mm-hmm. And or they'll say no, but just say it's an article database. Mm-hmm. And went right through. You know, podcasting doesn't have to be any different, right?
No.
I already told you guys in our 10-tool podcast episode, which is a couple ago, you go to Trint.com, mm-hmm. transcribe the thing, and send it to your compliance department. Mm-hmm. And before you launch it, they're going to approve it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't want to say anything that's going to get you in trouble because you don't want to go back and edit it. But that shouldn't be that hard not to say anything stupid. If they see, mostly they're going to say, throw a disclosure yes. on your podcast page.
Well, Kirk, we've experienced that, right? So we've been doing, Advisor Content X has now been in existence for a while. And we've got a bunch of advisors who are using our content multiplier service. And some of them are with existing broker dealers. And the last one that we did, which he's actually with a broker dealer I've worked with a bunch before, a brand new client. All they said was, don't say anything you're not supposed to say. Don't guarantee performance and don't talk about specific products, which we coach you on because we want evergreen material, right? We want philosophy. We want what makes you unique and different. We want, you know, for you to talk about things that are meaningful and great thought leadership, which doesn't necessarily have to do with product or performance. And so now we just have to put a disclosure on the end. Now, the disclosure is ridiculous because it's really long, but it doesn't matter. Right. I would love to put I'll put disclosures halfway through the darn podcast if they want me to, just so that you can get your thought leadership out. So don't let compliance be that crutch. Don't let that be the insurmountable hurdle. It's a no-go. It's no go. It's not going to happen. It's a load of hooey. Let's move on to number four, because for me, social media is an excuse that I hear often. And there is some credence to this, though, Kirk. So let's talk about this one.
Yeah. So the fifth excuse that kills your marketing success is this: I have no time to focus on marketing, writing, or producing content, or social media. And this one's tough because it doesn't need to be. It's probably the truth, which isn't a bad thing. I don't know what the problem is. Maybe you don't trust. Maybe you've never found a marketing company you trust, or which is actually fairly believable. Mm-hmm. You don't really have the time. You know that if you get with a good marketing company, they're going to tell you need to write a blog post every other week. Hey, I don't have time to do that. Whatever it is, but if you can't do it yourself, and or you don't have the talent, and or you don't enjoy it, you got to outsource it. It's yes. got to get done. You're a business. Mm-hmm. Right. So I don't know how you figure out it can't be a crutch or can't be an mm-hmm. excuse. You know, Dr. Jack, when we were talking to him in episode 25, what did he say about these are just things that people like to chalk up as I want to deal with it. What did he say?
He called it the
No, it wasn't one of the champion mindset things. It was early in the podcast. Oh. Anyway, he said he sees us come up with, because I mentioned these excuses.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, and he came up with some wonderful stuff. Anyway, we're really dragging our.
Well, okay. So I have an answer to this, because this is actually what I help advisors with for a living. In fact, one of the newest clients of Top Advisor Coaching hired me because she really needs an actual coach. She doesn't really need a consultant. She needs somebody who's going to help her get her life under control. And I'm going to say two words that can absolutely change this. Are you ready for the two words?
Yes, sir.
Time blocking. So what needs to happen here, everybody, is you have to be able to block your time. Every single solitary one of you has time. That is the worst excuse I can ever hear as a coach. The reason why you're not saying you have time is because you're horrifically disorganized, you're terribly reactionary, and you don't organize your day in a systematic manner. So many of you are so analytical and love to have processes in place, but for some reason you don't put those same processes into your day-to-day activity. You can do this with time blocking. Talk to or listen to Dan Sullivan's podcast. Listen to Covey's, not really podcast, but, you know, read Covey's book. Read Brian Tracy's Time Power. Every single solitary one of those people say the same thing, which is you have to get a hold of your time. It is not that difficult. If you use Sullivan, flex days, focus days, buffer days, great. What do you do on Tuesdays? Tuesdays is all of this
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. The Sullivan stuff, man. I mean, that guy's my flipping hero, right?
Mondays and Wednesdays do work for clients, mm-hmm. Tuesdays and Thursdays. And then you and I on Fridays, we record stuff.
Because this is fun, right? So this is, I look forward to this every single solitary week, but come on, this is the most pathetic excuse. And if you can even allocate a little amount of money, you can hire somebody through, you know, some of the tools. So
my turn to use the effect. Just give me a second here. I press the effect button on the console, right?
Yeah. On the, yeah, the ready? AGO3. Yep. Go.
It's two words, but it could be one, but I'm going to say, here's my two words. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Outsourcing.
And even with a Canadian accent, that sounded fantastic. Outsourcing. Anyway. So Kirk, we just had a podcast for this, right? That we just did one a little while ago on your favorite tools. So what was one of the ways that you talked to clients about outsourcing?
I don't even remember that part.
It was Upwork and Fiverr.
Oh no, Fiverr. Yeah, yep. I didn't talk about Upwork. Yeah, Fiverr. Yeah, I mean, if you've got somebody who can control your marketing, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We've given advisors one of the biggest problems with this excuse here, and it's really a reality. Because advisors don't have a lot of time to do this stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm maybe not as hard as them. I'm hard on them about it, but I think that they need to outsource it more likely. Sure. And it's more likely that they need to outsource it to fulfill it because they really don't have a lot of time to focus on these things, or they don't know how to do it. But what you need to start with is having a framework for marketing. Man, we've talked about that a lot.
Yeah, we really have.
So the four things: attract, intrigue, engage, influence. Mm-hmm. Break down your marketing, know exactly what you do. You got to go read my latest paper, Death by Referrals.
Yep, yep.
So if you go to kirklowe.com/DBR, as in Death by Referrals, I mean, I'll lay it out for you how to inspire referrals and how important that is to your practice and how it's the most cost-effective, most sustainable, momentum-building way to do marketing. You won't have to worry about all these little silo things anymore. Mm-hmm. You can add those in if you want to, but you know, you need to have, if you've got a framework, this will be a lot less stressful. Mm-hmm. And if you can figure out how to outsource it, whether it's your team using that framework or whether you're hiring a company like Tactibrand or, you know, which is Matt and I and Ray. Anyway, there's lots of opportunities for you. So don't use these as crutches in your practice anymore.
And Kirk, I will add, we'll make sure that we add that Death by Referrals link in the show notes. But I'm going to look up, because I think Dan Sullivan on the Strategic Coach website has a way to download his ideal week. So I'll take a look at that.
Right. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Just get us in trouble, dude. Although we could have Dan on this show.
Yeah. Okay. That would be like a dream come true to me, dude. I mean, he does like six podcasts already. You know what? Yeah. I'm actually connected with him on social media. So I'll go ahead and reach out. I'm definitely not afraid to ask him the question. In fact, there's another guy too. We've talked about him before. His name's Joe Polish. He runs a podcast called I Love Marketing. And either one of those guys to be on the show would be groundbreaking. And a great opportunity, but let me see if I can find that. But okay, so let's go back through these five excuses that kill your marketing success, and let's go ahead and wrap this up for today.
Yeah, number one, I don't control my brand. Number two, I just invested in a new website. It's not what I was hoping for, but it's done. Let's leave it alone. Number three, I want to grow, but I don't know how to find the dollars to make it happen or to invest in my marketing. And the truth is I can't afford good marketing. Number four, compliance won't let me. Number five, I have no time to focus on marketing, writing, or social media.
Fantastic. Well, Kirk, thank you very much for your brain again today.
Thank you, sir.
And we will all see you on the other side of the mic with our next podcast, which will be episode 27.